Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Some scriptures tell us that we are out from under the law, that we are free from the law. And isn't that what it means to be saved by grace? But other scriptures tell us we must be obedient, that we must obey, and that not the smallest letter of the law will pass away. How do these two concepts fit together? That's a good question, and there's a good answer. One of the greatest lights in Christian history was the Reformation, and the Reformers deftly and thoroughly reconciled these seemingly opposing concepts. Stay tuned to Skies Revival Radio, and you'll learn all about it. Today we get to the heart of understanding the concepts of law and grace. This is the lesson I've been promising you for a few weeks. What we're going to cover today is one of the most basic tenets of the Reformation. The Reformers of old had the clearest grasp of these concepts, and that is what caused the Reformation to be the brightest era in the history of Christianity. They sorted through all the scriptures, and by their diligence, they were able to reconcile seemingly opposed verses on being saved by grace alone and not being under the law, with all the verses saying that we need to obey the law. And nothing could be a more pertinent study for us today, because there is great confusion in the church regarding grace and law. It is very typical today that the church is strongly stressing that we are saved by grace alone, that Jesus has done it all, nothing is required of us but to simply enjoy the benefits of Jesus' unmerited favor. Well, that is true, to a point, but does that mean that we should live any way we want, because if we work to be good, we'll be denying the grace of God? It is not uncommon for someone who is trying hard to obey the Lord and walk according to His word should be labeled as a heretic. He's a heretic because he's now working for his salvation. So does that mean those who are desperately trying to obey Jesus by putting to death the sins in their lives, by abstaining from worldly pursuits, trying to keep their eyes and their hearts clean, and refraining from indulging the flesh and loving the world, are going to be cast out by Jesus because they're trying to work out their salvation? And does that mean at the same time, those who are, quote, saved by grace alone and are lazily living with all of their worldly indulgence, loving the world and all the things of the world, and are not putting to death the deeds of the flesh, that they will be welcomed into heaven with open arms? Not possible. And yet, this is the prevailing wind in the church today, bred by hyper-grace teachings and overemphasis on God loving us just the way we are. Let me tell you one thing right now. God does not love us just the way we are. He loves us in spite of how we are. He loves us in spite of our sin. He loves us in spite of our weakness. But it's not so that we can stay covered with filth. He loves us with the purpose of cleaning us up and making us good kids. All these things have come about because of a misunderstanding of scriptures regarding law and grace. And today we're going to cover that topic. We are in the midst of a study on a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. If you're following along with the book, we are heading into Lesson 6 today. If you don't have a copy yet, you can purchase it cheaply on Amazon or by going to our website, theskies.org. If you can't remember that, just type in Sky Family. We'll come right up first thing. You'll find the book to be very instructive and also very entertaining because it's filled with cartoon illustrations of the various points that are being made. Now, let's head right into the study. If you have the book and you look ahead, you'll see that there are chapters covering the Ten Commandments. And since we just learned in the last lessons that we are saved by grace and not by works, and that means by diligently following the law, why are we studying the Ten Commandments? That is a good question. Now that we have received Christ as our Savior, the law takes on a brand new meaning. There are two meanings of law in the Bible. So the first thing we must do is examine the word law as used in the Bible. It's used in two different ways to mean two different things. One meaning of the word refers to the Ten Commandments and the various laws governing man's moral behavior, and these are called the moral law. We see this clearly in Psalm 19, where David speaks of the delights of God's law. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. In keeping them, there is great reward." The second meaning refers to the system of sacrificial offerings set up by God for the temporary covering of sin. This ceremonial law prescribed exact procedures for offering acceptable sacrifices to God. They could be performed only by the Levites or the priests of God. This use of the word law is clearly seen in Hebrews 7:8. It says, "For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak." And in Hebrews chapter 10, 1-3, it says, "For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not cease to be offered? Because the worshipers, having been once cleansed, would no longer have a consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin year by year." So you see, we have two different meanings of law. There's one, which is the Ten Commandments, that is the moral law. The other is the ceremonial law, which was the law of sacrifices. And we see that the ceremonial law was replaced by the coming of Jesus. Jesus abolished the ceremonial law by his coming, which is explained carefully in Hebrews chapter 10, 4 through 10, which says, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, 'Sacrifice and sin offering you have not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me, and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.' Then he said, 'I have come to do thy will.' He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So he takes away this law, that is, the ceremonial law or the sacrificial law, in order to establish another, which is the law of grace. And this is a self-evident truth. The ceremonial law prescribed yearly sacrifices for sin, which had to be offered over and over again. But when the true sacrifice came, that is, the spotless Lamb of God, those temporary sacrifices were finished. To continue sacrificing after Jesus' death was equivalent to insisting on paying installments on a loan that's already been paid off. It was senseless and unnecessary. Those who continued to offer sacrifices were, in effect, telling God over and over that they did not accept the atonement provided by Jesus' death. It was very offensive to God and was the very reason he caused the temple where the sacrifices were offered to be torn down. So when the Bible speaks of the law coming to an end, it is referring to the ceremonial law of sacrifices. That's what it is referring to. And this is what Paul the Apostle meant when he addresses this in Romans chapter 7, verse 6. He says, "But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter." He is saying we are no longer under the old system of prescribed rituals and diets, which the religious leaders had made central to their old covenant observances. And we must remember, too, that Paul was always wrestling with the religious leaders who were persecuting him. Paul himself was a Jewish religious leader, and all of his arguments about the law being abolished referred to the twisted religion of works based on outward appearance and outward ceremonies. Jesus also raised a whip against these same scribes, lawyers, and Pharisees. Now here we come to the heart of the matter. There is also a change in the other law. Regarding the other meaning of law, which is the moral law, that's the Ten Commandments, we also had a transition. It is a common assumption in these modern days to lump the moral law, that is the Ten Commandments, in with the ceremonial law and throw them both out. Since Christians know that they are no longer under the law but under grace, they often abandon everything to do with law. And this becomes a snare and a source of great error in the modern church, which leads to all types of sin and confusion. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, is not annulled with the ceremonial law. However, a change takes place which alters its character in the new covenant. This is one of the central concepts of the Reformation, which so powerfully impacted the world. the transition that takes place in the law, which is the Ten Commandments, under the New Covenant is this. We are no longer under the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says it perfectly. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. We are no longer out from under any law. We are out from under the curse of the law, meaning that the law would condemn us and we would be sent to hell. We are no longer under the curse because of the amazing grace of God. So we are no longer bound by the curse of the law, having to keep the law perfectly. Jesus made a way for us to be made right in the eyes of God through faith in Jesus, who actually did fulfill the requirements of righteousness under the law. Now, the demand of the law to obey it perfectly no longer holds terror to us who are in Christ. We have a way to be forgiven if we stumble and break a law. The Ten Commandments stand apart from the Old Covenant with its sacrifices and the New Covenant with salvation through faith in Christ. That's because the Ten Commandments are simply God's standard of righteous behavior until heaven and earth pass away. Jesus speaks clearly of this in Matthew chapter 17, 19. He says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus spoke these words with the full knowledge that he had come to abolish the sacrificial aspects of the law. And yet we see Jesus himself, the Redeemer, the author of all grace, upholds the Ten Commandments as part of the New Covenant. And this is also confirmed by many, many scriptures throughout the New Testament, some of which are listed under the next heading. For those who try to dance around that scripture I just read, that not even a stroke will pass away from the law until all is accomplished, by saying that it has been accomplished by Jesus' death, and therefore the Ten Commandments don't apply to us anymore, I would have to bring to your mind, heaven and earth have not passed away yet, and until then, the smallest letter will not pass away from the law. Now, I'm going to have to leave you with that for this week to think about it and mull it over, though we have not come to the conclusion yet about the transition of the moral law or the Ten Commandments, which takes place in the New Covenant. But I've given you plenty to think about this week. This is all good, solid, orthodox Christianity. This is the Christianity you will see in Charles Spurgeon, George Whitfield, John Bunyan, and all the great leading lights of the last centuries. This is the Christianity that is in the old hymn books that you can still find in some old churches. This is the rock-solid foundation that we stand on. Not that we are saved by grace and therefore we can live any way we want. Believe me, if you fall into that because it's so easy and because it's so widespread, if you fall into that, you are in great danger. You are going to be very ashamed when you stand before the Lord. But if you rightly divide the word and you see that the Ten Commandments is still God's standard of behavior, regardless of the covenant, now you'll begin to act more soberly. You'll begin to act in more of a desire to obey God with an urgency to get the sin out of your life. Our overemphasis on God's grace and his love loving us just the way we are has led many, many people into a very lackadaisical lifestyle where their pastimes are full of sin and no one is addressing it. So these are very, very pertinent topics to dwell on this week. Until we resume again, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep your feet on that hard, firm path that you'll enter through the narrow gate that leads to life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, grant to us a keen understanding, Lord, that we might run after you, that we might follow hard after you. Lord, that we might hear your words and obey them, just as you instructed us in the Sermon on the Mount. He who hears my words and does them, he it is who has built his house on the rock. Lord, help us to build our house on the rock. In Jesus' name, amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. 887-1051, or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
different.